and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and today I am super excited for my guest. Her name is Chantelle Allen, and she is an expert on marriage and coaching and all the things that go into controlling your feelings and emotions. She has studied at the Life Coach School and studied under Jody Moore, who has also been a guest on our podcast, and I am so excited to learn from her today all of the things that she has to teach us. So please help me welcome Chantelle Allen. Hey, Chantelle, how are you?
Hey, thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if you'll start out by just telling our listeners a little bit about yourself and how you started doing what you're doing now.
Okay. So yes, I am a mom of four children and they range in ages from 12 to 8. So they're pretty close together.
Wow.
Yeah, very close together. But I love it because we kind of move through all of the stages of life together. They're kind of their self-made best friends. It's really been a blessing on the backside of everything. So, and I live in Arizona. I live in a small town called Thatcher, Arizona. It's right on the border of New Mexico. And so it's a little bit cooler than Phoenix, which is really nice. But yeah, I'm a certified life coach. And I always knew that I wanted to do something to help other people. I used to be a preschool teacher for 9 years out of my home. And when my youngest child went to kindergarten, I decided that I needed to change things up. And I started having some results of my own after some different situations with myself and my kids. I found Jody Moore, and a lot of people know her, but I found her podcast, fell in love with her teachings and what she was telling everybody. And it was impacting me and my kids. And so I was like, if this is helping me and my kids, I think everybody needs to have this work. And so I went to the Life Coach School and I haven't looked back. It's been amazing.
That's so incredible. So tell us about your training, the training you received at the Life Coach School. What kinds of things do you learn?
So Life Coach School, what I went to an in-person training and it's with Brooke Castillo, and you go and we get to learn everything about coaching. And I know when I went beforehand, I thought I knew everything that you already needed to know. I knew the model that they teach us, which is the CTFAR awareness model. I thought I knew it all. But when you go there, you understand that you need to learn the psyche of how, you know, coaching happens. You need to understand how to hold the space, which is what we call it, where you allow people to express themselves and you are able to come from a clean mind and not get in the pool with your clients when you understand or you've been in a situation like they've been in the past. So it was a very intense training, but it made me a better coach coming outside of it. And I feel like I can tackle any possible situation problem with the tools that I was able to get from the Life Coach School.
Very cool. So as I was telling you before, I'm really excited. I'm about at the end of the summer, I'm going to launch a whole course on marriage. And I have been like immersing myself and learning so much. It's some of my favorite material and I'm so excited to share it. So I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your own marriage and the difficulties you've had to personally overcome.
Okay. So yeah, I have been married for 15 years and I was actually talking to my husband about this last night. So I was going through this. I'm like, what were some of our struggles in our marriage? And what was very eye-opening to me is understanding the struggles were all basically one-sided for me. So at the very beginning of our marriage, we had a rough probably year or two. And I think it is because of my expectations walking into what marriage was, what I had perceived it to be my entire life. Because I think when we grow up, I mean, as a girl, I don't know how many girls have done this. I think a majority of us have. We write out that list of this is what my husband's going to be like, and he's going to do these things and have this dream guy on a piece of paper. And I got married to what I thought was my dream guy, and he is my dream guy. But at the time, he wasn't living up to every one of my bullet points. And I thought something was wrong and I would hold it in, and it compounded to the point where there was a lot of disagreements and arguments in our marriage for the first couple of years. But now I've learned, and it's taken years, but even in the last 5 years, it's just changed with knowing this information and understanding, you know, just how you can have the most amazing relationship ever by just kind of taking care of yourself and taking care of your own needs. So that's kind of where we've been on our journey. It's all been about me.
So. Yay. Well, I'm so excited for you to share some of those concepts with us a little bit later. But what would you say in your experience working with clients are like the three issues women struggle with the most in feeling like they have a great marriage?
Yeah. So I talk to a lot of women who come to me thinking something is wrong with my marriage or I need to change something up. One of the okay, I'll give you the three, but the first one is I can't have the life that I want because of who I married. They think that maybe I married the wrong person. There's just something wrong in their relationship. And the second one is they won't change to help me or meet me halfway. Like we always talk about compromise in marriage, and they're always like, okay, if I did this, then my spouse should do this, or they won't change after I changed. And so that's another one of the issues that I talk to a lot of women about. And the third one is they feel like they can't connect with their spouse because they won't open up and they won't communicate. And they feel like their husbands are emotionally unavailable and they want to be connected. And they think that they should get married to somebody and that connection comes from them doing something or saying something for them to be able to feel that connection with them. So those are like the three big ones that I typically coach people on with that.
Awesome. So let's talk about the manual. You were alluding to it earlier, but can you tell us what that even is?
Yeah. So the manual, that's another way of saying basically your expectations. And that's kind of what I was saying was my struggles at the very beginning of my marriage. And I didn't know that I was holding this manual for my husband. So basically, a manual is an instruction guide that we have for someone in our lives and how we want them to behave so that we can feel good and be happy. And we generally don't tell anybody or even think that we have a manual for them. And that is where some of the struggles are. And so we've just been taught that the world and others are just responsible for how we feel. You know, if you think back to like when you're in school, you're like, Susie hurts your feelings, or, you know, gifts make us feel loved, or, you know, even with our grades at school, here's a grade, now you can feel good about yourself. So we were kind of conditioned to look for other people to help us feel better. So that is basically, we've started writing this manual. Oh, I like getting gifts. That's what makes me feel better. Or I like it when people say this to me. This is a manual that I'm writing for how people should behave. And the manual is an attempt to try and control things outside of us, people, circumstances. And most people don't recognize they have manuals because they are very logical and seem very reasonable. And like, we're just telling people that they should be fair, or that they should be kind, or they should be honest. And at the same time, it always lets us down because we think people should act this way. And most of the time, they're not going to act that way for you. So we have that struggle and that resistance when it comes to expectations and what really does happen. So that's what the manual is.
Gotcha. Can you give us some common examples of a few things people have in their manuals without even realizing it?
Yeah. So these are ones that I'll tell you specific to kind of marriage. And then I'll tell you some other ones that are a little bit more sneaky too, that is a general one. So a lot of the times we'll think of things like, he should buy me something for my birthday, or he should spend more time with the kids, or he should clean up after himself, or he should know what I like, or he should want to spend time with me. And these are just like those sneaky little thoughts that we're thinking. And when we think those thoughts, we think something's wrong because that's not happening for us. But another manual that people have sometimes, and this is just a general manual that we have for society, is people shouldn't cut in line. People should tell the truth. People shouldn't steal. People shouldn't be rude. Those are just things that we have kind of gotten conditioned by society that, oh yeah, that's what a good person does. And that's a manual that we have for basically everybody.
Yeah. So do you find that men and women typically have different manuals that they pull from?
Well, manuals, I have learned, they come from your upbringing. So, and of course, men and women are different. So the way that a man perceives a relationship is going to be different than a woman. And I think that's where a lot of the time there's that struggle in a relationship where a guy doesn't need as much affection as maybe the wife does. And so it's just what we've seen growing up. So like if my parents were very affectionate and my dad gave gifts to my mom all the time, that was kind of written in my manual without me even thinking about it. I'm like, oh, that's what a good husband does. But right. My husband, maybe when he was growing up, that never happened. There was no affection. There was none of that. And so it's kind of weird for a relationship to be like that for him. So it's not even men and women. It's just more the way that you were brought up and the things that you kind of saw in your life as you grew up and the experiences that you had. That's kind of what wrote your manual for you.
Gotcha. So are there ways that we can become aware of what's in our personal manuals? Because I don't think it's super obvious. So like, how can I go about like figuring out what my manual says?
So this is an exercise that I love to do with my clients. And the best first step that you want to do to realize that your manuals are based on other people and recognize the benefits of just taking responsibility for creating that own manual for, or just dropping the manual for other people. So the way that I do this is I will have someone write down, what do you want this person to do? List out everything. Like if it was an ideal situation, go ridiculous with it. What would you want this person to do? And it's very interesting how quickly we can do that. We're like, well, yeah, I want them to do this and I want them to behave like this, or I don't want them to do this. And we can write it all out. That is the first way to kind of recognize if we have a manual for somebody. And side note with that is we have a manual for everybody. It's not like this is a horrible thing. It's just an awareness tool that I like to use with my clients that sometimes we have these manuals and they're not serving us. So it's just being able to recognize that and be like, okay, is this a manual that I want to keep looking at, or is it not serving me? And do I want to try and change it or drop it?
Interesting. I just thought about the fact that you could possibly have manuals for your kids. Like
100%. Yes. Yes.
So once we've recognized, brain dumped, you know, what our manuals look like for certain people, once we've recognized it, how do you suggest we go about dropping them?
Well, and like I was saying, we all have manuals, but we've not probably been aware of them. They've been just kind of in our mind's eye that this is how people should behave. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just a general manual, like we were talking about, like people shouldn't cut in line, people should not be rude. So to really recognize these manuals, you really have to understand what it looks like before you drop it. So it's not like we can just be like, oh, I'm just not going to have expectations for people. I always like to take my clients from where they are. We got to see what those manuals are for you to even be able to drop it in the first place. So again, it's going back to that exercise of like, how do you want this person to behave? Best case scenario, how do you want them to behave if you were to say, oh, I want them to come home from work on time, or I want them to remember my anniversary. I want them to understand that I want them to help around the house or take out the trash. All of these ideas have been scripted in your manual, and this is how you think that they would be amazing. So writing that out and then just questioning, like, if we could force this person to do these things, like against their will, basically, would you want them to? And most often we're like, no, I totally don't want that person to be forced to act this certain way. But in our mind, because we're not aware of it, we're like, yeah, of course, if they were to behave like this, I'd feel better. But if push comes to shove, it would actually be them not being themselves. We're not allowing them to be who they are. So awareness is always that first step to even being able to drop it. And usually that's enough for people to be like, oh, I totally see what I'm doing. And it just happens. You just allow people to be exactly who they are.
Gotcha. So can you explain the concept of giving up our own power to be happy to someone else? Because we do that so much.
Yeah. So when we're trying to make somebody else happy, it actually comes at the cost of us not being who we are. People pleasers. I'm a recovering people pleaser, so I totally understand.
Me too.
Especially in relationships. I think there's a lot of us that feel like we conform to our spouse, or we're trying our hardest to make them happy. And in that response, we are becoming less and less of who we are. We're trying to control the other person's experience by controlling how they feel. And this is a huge reality check, but we can't do that. There's no possible way for us to control how other people think or how other people feel about us. But for some reason, we got this idea that if we did certain things for people, or if we acted a certain way, we could control that. And so just understanding that the only thing that you can control is how you feel and how you think can really help you alleviate that pressure to just allow yourself to be happy and kind of take care of your own needs and then love the other person in return, but don't feel like you have to do anything special or that's not you to make them feel better, because you can't. There's no possible way that we can make them feel how we want them to feel. There's just no way.
That's such an interesting paradigm shift, especially in marriage, because you think, you know, you marry this guy and you want to make him happy, and you think if he's happy, then I can be happy. And it's such an important mind shift, I think, when you realize, like, I only have the power to control my happiness, not his.
Yeah.
So I think when we come to recognize that, it just changes so much. Like, it's such a huge game changer.
Well, and I think a lot of my clients will come to me and they're like, okay, so what you're saying is I don't have to do anything to be nice to him or to be, and I'm like, no, the person that you want to be, I mean, if it's aligned with your core values, is going to be loving and taking care of your spouse. And in return, he'll probably do the same thing. And I know also they'll bring up, you know, well, how was it when we were dating? It seemed like he was doing everything perfect. And it's like, no, you were having the thoughts about how amazing this person was, that no matter what he did, it was amazing. Yeah. And what's always interesting is people will bring up, you know, oh, he was such a good listener, all of the time when we were dating. And now we're looking at like, he won't let me talk enough, or he won't whatever. And it's because we had different thoughts when we were dating. And now all of a sudden, those strengths that were huge when we were dating have now become weaknesses in our mind. And it's just reformatting our thoughts. He hasn't changed. It's our thoughts about him that have changed. So you can get back to that same place again if you want to.
Totally true. So this would be a great time to go over the model and how our thoughts create our feelings.
Yes. So this is the model that I learned from Brooke Castillo at the Life Coach School. And there's versions of this model everywhere. She just kind of made it in a, it's more of an awareness model, and it's a way to organize your brain. And the more you can learn this, then you can apply any situation to it. And there's five components to the model. So it's the C, T, F, A, R. And the C is your circumstances. So these are the facts. They are strictly, you know, no drama, no opinions. They're neutral. Then you have your thoughts, which is the T line. These are all the thoughts that you have about your circumstance. And this is where all of your opinions and subjectives go inside this part. Then the F line is the feelings that are created from your thoughts. So many times we think our feelings come from our circumstances, what other people do or what's going on around us. And in this model, it shows you that no, your feelings actually come from what you're thinking. And then that feeling creates how you act in the moment. And this could be that you avoid doing something. It could be that you react to something. It's just what you do, what drives you to behave in a certain way. And then the R is just the results that are determined by your actions. So, and we are always creating our results by our things. So whatever you think, it's going to find the evidence for it, and it's going to see it through. It's going to make sure that result happens.
So how can we take responsibility for our feelings and choose to feel a certain way regardless of our circumstances or what's happening around us?
So this takes practice. Yeah. It's not like you hear this today and you're like, oh, I'll just take responsibility for my feelings and everything is totally fine. It takes practice of being aware of what you're feeling and then aware of what you're feeling in the process. So we've been taught for so long that our emotions come from feelings from other people. Like car makes you feel so good about yourself. A dress makes you feel so good about yourself. But if you understand this model, that you understand that we are creating that feeling by the thoughts about the car, about the dress, about your relationship. And this is amazing news once you really understand this, because we no longer need our spouse to change for us to feel better. We no longer need our kids to get older for us to feel better. We can take back all that responsibility, and how we feel is all on us. It's our responsibility, and we can create the results that we want in our life without changing anything. So that's, I love it.
Yeah, that really is great news. Like,
it is.
I love this concept. It's just, it really, really is life-changing. Mm-hmm. So how can we manage our expectations around learning all of this and applying it to our marriages? Like, how can we, you know, I just want to be good at it right now. So how can we manage those expectations?
Okay. Well, and I love this question. So again, it goes back to kind of what we've been saying. It's going to take practice. It's going to be becoming aware of what your expectations or your manual is about your spouse. Because so many times we have what we're saying, like a good husband would do this. You know, a good wife would do this, and how they meet your needs will make you feel happy. But because, like, if you think about how we grow up, we get married because we think that's going to make us happy. This is just what we've been taught. And if there's nothing wrong with it, but it's now being aware of it and being like, okay, that doesn't make me happy all the time. It makes me happy when I think the thoughts that are going to make me happy. So I know in therapy and other places, they always talk about how we make a list for our spouse of like, okay, this is what I need you to do. Here's the needs that I have. Here's the needs that I have. And we're supposed to take care of each other's needs to make ourselves happy. And I'm on the other side of it. I think that we shouldn't have to spend our relationship trying to fulfill each other's needs, because you're going to be let down 100% of the time. There's no possible way for somebody else to fulfill all of your needs. Like, one example that I always think of is if your husband comes home with flowers, and that's something maybe you've been asking him forever, you could have all these thoughts of like, okay, what did he do? Why is he bringing me home flowers all of a sudden? Or it could be like, oh my gosh, this is the most amazing thing ever. Or why did he spend money on that? So here we think we have these needs of, oh, I need a gift, and he does it. But because of our thinking, that's what creates the problem. So if we can just take care of our own needs and then meet in the middle and just have fun, that's what we need to do. So it's almost even taking note of what needs do you have? What needs do you have in your relationship? Is it that you need communication? Maybe you're not going to get that from your husband. Maybe you need to get the communication from a best friend, a mother or a sister or something like that. It doesn't need to come always from our spouse, which is what we sometimes think needs to happen.
Yeah. You hear about the word compromise so much when you're getting married. Like, it's compromise. You have to compromise. And I'm yes. excited. In my course, there's a whole module that's just going to bust up this myth and just pieces. But in your opinion, is it possible for only one person to fix a marriage that seems broken?
Yes, absolutely. Because like I was kind of telling you guys about my relationship issues at the very beginning, I had all of this drama in my head about a relationship. And a relationship, this is might be mind-blowing to a lot of people too, is just your thoughts about the other person. It's not what we think about relationships being marriage and friendship, and you know, that's a relationship, and the experiences in between is what makes it good or bad. And it's not. It has everything to do with your thoughts about the other person. And the way that we know this is true is if you think about when someone's gone for military leave, you can have all these amazing thoughts and still stay connected to that person, even though they are so far away. Or if you think on the other side of it, if you think about a stalker situation where you have a stalker who's infatuated with this person, and the other person on the other side is in the quote unquote relationship is scared out of her mind. So they're both in a quote unquote relationship, but they have completely different thoughts about each other. So you can, wherever your relationship is at, you can fix. If you feel like it's broken, you can fix it, because even that thought of it's broken is coming from your thoughts about the relationship. So you just need to take be aware of what's going on for you in your mind, and then decide what you want to change to make the relationship that you want to have. Nobody else needs to change. Your husband doesn't need to do anything different. He doesn't need to say anything different. You just get to love him. So it's almost just taking yourself back to, what did I love about him to begin with? What makes him so attractive? What makes him amazing? And those thoughts will generate the feelings of love and compassion, and maybe even some curiosity of like, okay, what can I do to help him out? Instead of it being, what does he owe me? What do I get from him at the same time? So it's 100% one-sided, and it's so doable for you to fix a relationship where you're at.
Oh, it's so cool. And really so freeing if you let that sink in and really understand that concept. It's just like, so cool. But if that is the case, if just me, I can fix what's broken, what is the most important thing that someone can do to start the process of mending what seems broken?
So it is taking a look at what you're thinking. Like, what are you thinking about your marriage? What seems broken? And this is where I love the model, because then you can really piece out the circumstances, which so many times we think are the thoughts that we're thinking, like, he should do this. We think that's a fact. And I love this model because it kind of breaks it down and be like, no, that's a thought that you're having that might be holding you back. Do you want to continue thinking that thought? Or do you want to maybe shift it and say, okay, what can I do for him? Or how can I look at this in a different way? So it's just recognizing the story that you're telling yourself. If you think about what you focus on is what you find. If the story of your life is, I have a hard relationship, or my relationship is broken, then that evidence is going to be everywhere in your life. You're going to see the little things that happen. But if you can switch that story into being like, how is my relationship amazing? Or my relationship is amazing, then you will start to see the evidence lay out. It really is amazing how powerful our mind is at what it wants to focus on. We hear those stories of like when people are driving and they see that pole in front of them and there's, you know, I'm going to avoid the pole. And because they're focusing on avoiding the pole, they hit the pole. And that's just because what we focus on, we will find every single time. So use that to your advantage. Like, change your story if you want to. You totally can.
So do you recommend journaling, or like what exercise do you recommend to figure out what that story is that you're telling yourself?
So I love this exercise called a thought download or a thought dump. There's lots of different variations of it, but it's one of my favorites to do. And it's, everybody can do this. I even have my kids do this because it's such a good awareness tool, but it also is so alleviating because so many times we just leave these thoughts in our head and it doesn't go anywhere. So the way that I like to even do this analogy is, I don't know if your listeners have heard of this show, but the Marie Kondo effect. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they've heard it on Netflix. But just as a quick snapshot, she's a Japanese lady, walks into homes that are full of stuff, and she helps them go room by room, dump everything into a big pile, and then one by one, take a look at it. This is interesting. Do you want to keep this? And they look at it, decide, yeah, I want to keep it, or I want to get rid of it. So a thought download is the same thing for our brain. We want to dump everything out of your brain and put it onto a piece of paper. And then you can take a look at it and be like, that's very interesting that I'm thinking this thought. We don't ever want you to judge what's coming out of your brain. It's so important to just kind of be a watcher of your thought, and don't edit either. Like, you might notice there's some negative thoughts in there. Perfect. We want to get those out because they're in your brain anyways. It's like having that dress that's been in the back of your closet. If you ignore it, it doesn't mean it goes away. It just stays there and clutters and gets more dust. We want to take it out and take a look at it and then decide, hey, is that thought serving you? If not, let's take a look at it and we can get rid of it. So there is such a power in just dumping everything out. Now, if you want to throw it away and trash it up, perfect. You'll see that there's relief that comes from even just taking a look at that piece of paper, but there's also that power in doing something with it when you're ready. Like there's sometimes when my clients will do this and there's so much going on, it may take them a week of thought downloads of tearing them up, then they're ready to start the next process of doing something about it. But yeah, first step is always just dump everything out.
Oh my gosh, Chantel, this has been so awesome. And I just know I'm going to have some listeners who are like, oh, she's awesome. So can you talk about for just a second, what services you offer? Like if somebody wanted to work with you, how does your program work? What do they need to do?
So I offer one-on-one coaching. And my program is 6 months long because I am of the belief you can't fix, you know, what's been going on in your life in just a couple of weeks. So I work with my clients one-on-one for 6 months and we go through everything. We want to make sure that we are giving you all of the tools to fill up your tool belt so that no matter what comes at you, you can whip out that tool that you need to, like the manual, and say, oh my gosh, I see what I'm doing here. I have this manual for somebody. So I do that and you can reach me at findyourbeautifulyou.com. And I have a little link on there. You can sign up on my calendar. And I also have just a podcast too, which I go through all of these tools as well. And that's Find Your Beautiful You. So
perfect. Well, I'll make sure to link to that in my show notes. And this has been awesome. Like I hope that my listeners will listen to this and take notes and really try to dig into the concepts that we've talked about. Cause some of them sound simple on the surface, but really it's life changing. If you'll really like, you know, let these things sink in and let them kind of simmer. It really is life changing to realize that any relationship in your whole life, you can control just one-sided. Like they don't have to do anything. Like it's all you. It's so freeing. So anyways, thank you so much for your time today. This has just been absolutely amazing and I wish you the best. And if you are interested in working with Chantel, you can find her at findyourbeautifulyou.
Yep. .com.
And I will make sure to link to that. So thank you so much.
Thank you. I really appreciate this. This has been fun.
Okay. That was literally one of the most impactful interviews I've ever done as far as somebody else's answers and what we talked about aligning so perfectly with my message. Everything Chantel and I talked about today is basically overview of everything you're going to get in the first module of my marriage course. And I am so excited as I have been outlining it and thinking about the most important concepts I can convey about marriage and about completely just changing the environment of your, not only your marriage, but all of your interpersonal relationships, your most important relationships with your kids, with your friends, with your extended family members. These concepts are really the crux of everything. You can change everything about your life with these concepts. And once you really start to understand them and apply them, your life will be forever changed. So I am so grateful to be able to sit down and have this conversation with Chantel. She is so eloquent in her language and easy to understand. I'm really excited that she's going to be joining us for our Epic Marriage Summit that's coming up in October. I have been working on the marriage course, which basically our conversation today kind of is an overview of the first module of that course. And then we're going to hear more from Chantel in the marriage summit, which is so exciting. I'm so excited to announce more of our guests for the summit and just really dig deep into their areas of expertise and all that they have to teach and offer on the subject of marriage. I just think it's going to be mind-blowing and life-changing, and I really just cannot wait. So thanks for joining us today. I hope that this episode gives you a lot of things to start thinking about. And as you think about whether or not the marriage course that I'm going to be releasing is right for you, if any of the concepts that we talked about today resonate with you and you want to learn more about them and and really apply them, then absolutely the course that I am putting together is perfect for you. Our first two guests in this new kind of marriage series have just been amazing, and I'm really excited. We're going to switch gears a little bit next week. Our guest, her name is Krista Lockwood, and she is going to talk to us about decluttering. So Chantel kind of alluded to decluttering our thoughts, doing a brain dump and then examining all the things and deciding whether or not we want to hold on to that or if it's not serving us to get rid of it. Krista is going to talk to us about our stuff. I loved our interview and I'm so excited to share it with you. We talked about basically decluttering your home and how all of the stuff that you have gets in the way of your relationships. And you're probably going, huh, but I promise it's all going to make sense to you next week when I release that interview. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I would love for you to join our Facebook group. It's called On the Brighter Side of Marriage Facebook group. So you can just search that when you go to Facebook, and we have some really fun things that we're doing in there. So make sure you jump in the group. And until next week, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.